This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. The Bible makes many references to children. They have a special place in God's plan. Jesus sometimes used children to prove a point. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 46 through 48, relates how the disciples argued among themselves as to whom was the greatest. Jesus settled the argument when he set a child by his side and said, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me, for he who is least among you all is the one who is great." Lutherans heed the call to receive children, especially the forgotten orphans around the world. In August, a group of Lutherans from North Carolina journeyed to the mountainous backcountry of Peru in South America to help missionaries there build a home for orphans and neglected children. I speak with Pastor Robert Dovenmuehl of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Statesville, North Carolina, about the experience.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news and brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Stephanie Neugebauer of St. Louis begins serving as Director of Life and Health Ministries with the Synod's Office of National Mission. Neugebauer, 25, succeeds Dr. Maggie Carner of Bristol, Connecticut, who stepped down from the post in January to spend more time with her family. Carner, who served the ministry for 10 years, was diagnosed in the spring of 2014 with late-stage brain tumor and is now in hospice. In her new position, Neugebauer will oversee all programs developed for the Synod's life and health ministries, both domestic and international, formulate strategic goals for those ministries, and direct the church's bodies of pro-life and health-related mercy outreach efforts. Office Depot has retreated from its refusal to make 500 copies of a flyer featuring a pro-life prayer that calls for the conversion of Planned Parenthood that was written by a Catholic priest. The company had initially refused to make copies, according to a letter written by a lawyer for Office Depot, because language in the prayer, in their words, falls within the definition of graphic material and/or hate material under the company's internal policy. Office Depot's reversal came after a lawyer for Thomas More Society, a nonprofit law firm, sent the company a letter arguing that it had unlawfully discriminated against Maria Goldstein, a customer who had asked that it print the flyers. The prayer was written by Father Frank Pavoni, Director of Priests for Life. Persecution of Christians in the Middle East constitutes genocide, Representative Anna Ashoud, Democrat of California, says, quote, because the oldest of the Christian communities are really being wiped out. Ashoud introduced legislation this week, along with Representative Jeff Fortenberry, Republican of Nebraska, calling for the persecution of Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East by the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria and others labeled genocide. The two lawmakers are co-chairs of the Religious Minorities in the Middle East Caucus. The legislation has been introduced that calls what is happening in the Middle East genocide, Ashoud said in an address in the Defense of Christians Convention in Capitol Hill. Ashoud sponsored the legislation that became law in August 2014, requiring the president to appoint a special envoy to promote religious freedom of religious minorities in the Near East and South Central Asia. Despite repeated calls from Congress and religious groups for the post to be filled quickly, President Obama has yet to appoint an envoy. The Alabama legislature is considering new legislation that could take the state out of the wedding license business entirely. State Senator Greg Allbritton, Republican of Bay Minette, and State Representative Jim Hill, Republican of Moody, both filed legislation that would replace the state-issued marriage licenses with a marriage contract, which would simply be set to be recorded by the probate judge. Allbritton told the New York Times that some probate judges in Alabama are preparing to go to jail, like Kentucky clerk Kim Davis, if they're ordered to issue same-sex marriage licenses. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics. Matt,
let go of me, man. No, no, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
I'm Kip Allen, host for World Lutheran News Digest. With me today, my guest is Pastor Robert Dovenmuehl, who's had quite an experience with his congregation and the nation of Peru. Pastor, could you tell me a bit about yourself and your congregation?
Well, I'm at Holy Trinity in Statesville, North Carolina. This is the first international mission trip that we've been on, and it was quite an adventure, and quite an experience.
What was the mission trip? Specifically, what were you trying to accomplish, and what did you do?
Well, there's a local couple that from Statesville that went down to Peru as full-time missionaries about 4 years ago, and they are currently in Curahuasi, Peru, which is a couple hours east of Cusco, high in the mountains. Curahuasi is about 9,000 feet. And what they are doing is working with a woman from Australia to build a home for children.
You mean an orphanage?
In a sense, yes. They don't like to use the word orphanage just because of the baggage that carries. What they're looking to do is build a home that children who are abandoned or orphaned are able to go and have a loving family and be raised in the arms of Christ.
How does this work?
How does it work? Well, currently they're still in the process of building the home, and that's what we were there to do. We're pouring concrete and doing everything that they asked us to do in order to bring this home further towards its goal of opening. And they hope to open it early next year.
How many children will it house when it's completed?
28 boys and 28 girls.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah. The woman whose vision this is, Lyndall Williams, she was from Australia. She got this vision because she ended up taking in six brothers who were abandoned by their parents because they couldn't afford them. And they were looking to be adopted, but nobody wanted to take all six of them. And she didn't want them to be separated, so she took all six of these brothers into her home. And she has since adopted three more children, all boys. And she's seen the need for children whose parents are unable to take care of them is one of a big problem in the country of Peru, because there's just, you know, they don't have a lot of income. She had this vision of having this home that she could raise children in who have been orphaned or abandoned, to be able to give them a loving, caring home where they would not only just have their needs taken care of, but that they would also be loved.
Now, how did your congregation get involved in this? You mentioned about the two missionaries who were down there. Was your congregation involved?
We have some of the people in our congregation have been friends with this couple that went down there. And it's just been a thought at the back of the minds of a few people here that really would like to go down and give them support, give them encouragement, and help them in their ministry. Really didn't think it would be possible for us. We're a small congregation. We're not a wealthy congregation. And the thought of raising enough money to send a few of us down there was just seemed out not possible. But with God, all things are possible. It was last year. It was, you know, our planning for this began about a year ago, and it was just kind of the light bulb went off when I heard about an organization here in North Carolina that provides funding for short-term mission trips. And so we contacted them, and they could provide us $2,500 to go towards the mission trip, and that just started the ball rolling, that we could actually foresee that time when we could actually send a group down there.
How many actually went to Peru with you?
We had 9 people, and it was 5 of us from this congregation and 4 of them from an organization, a ministry that I'm involved with outside the church that ministers to high school and college age people. And so there were 4 of us that went that came from that ministry.
What were the ages?
Well, the youngest was 16, daughter of one of the women that went. And the oldest was early 60s, I think maybe 61. So a wide range. Many of them were in their mid-late 20s.
Describe the trip. How did you get down to Peru? And once you were in Peru, how did you get to the site?
Well, it was a very long trip. We drove to Atlanta, which is about a 4.5-hour drive from here. Flew from Atlanta to Lima in Peru. Spent the night in the airport and flew into Cusco early in the morning at sunrise. And then we got on a bus. And that was about a 2.5-hour trip from Cusco to Curahuasi, along some of the most beautiful mountains I've ever seen. The mountains there just really, it was just God's glory and majesty in his creation was so evident.
Did you find this reflected in the people there? Are they spiritual? Are they aware of the beauty around them?
Just like everything else, when we experience something every day, we don't actually see it.
That is so true. The old forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you can go up that mountain and see the beauty and the grandeur of God's creation every day and have it hit you the same way. But it gave me a new appreciation for coming home to Statesville and being able to appreciate the beauty that we have here in God's creation.
And he creates a different type of beauty everywhere in the world.
Yes, he does. And the beauty of the trees here was striking from coming back from that area. High in the mountains, and there's not large trees. It's very dry. the humidity was so low. When we were working and using a pick and a shovel to move rocks, and we'd sweat, but the sweat, because it was so dry, it just kind of, you didn't accumulate any sweat. So that was kind of interesting.
Describe for me, if you would, sir, the typical day. I mean, where were you staying? What were you eating? And then how did the workday progress?
Well, we got involved with many of the ministries that the Heath family is involved in. We went to schools, and we were involved in Bible lessons at several schools. There was, the women had a Bible study ministry one day. We went to church with them, and we painted the interior of this church. But the main purpose was to go and help to get this orphanage, this children's home, off the ground. And so we went, and for part of each day, we were moving rocks. We were making and pouring cement. We did a lot of hard work, as well as getting involved in some of the ministry that they had going on. And that's what I thought was, that was one of the things that I appreciated the most, was that it wasn't just about the work of getting this children's home built, but it was about being involved in the ministry of the missionaries there.
Now, Peru is...
We delivered food to several families while we were there.
Now, Peru is an overwhelmingly Catholic country. Did you find the people there at all responsive to the Lutheran message?
Yeah, they are. What they need more than anything else, as all of us do, is the grace of God. To know that God loves us, and that His grace is just poured out upon us, that His forgiveness leads us into a relationship with Him. They are Catholic, but there is a lot of the ancient native religion that still comes into their thinking, the superstitions. We were told about one of these boys that Linda Williams adopted had broken his leg. She works in a hospital, and he'd broken his leg and it needed surgery. And his parents said, no, we're not going to let him do that, because they believed that when you cut someone open, then it allows evil spirits to come in. And so she took this child and accepted guardianship of him, had the surgery done. She tried to take the child back to his parents, and they refused to accept him because of the surgery. And so she's raised him as her own son since then. And that kind of, there's that superstition that comes into their way of thinking. One of the things that we did, we took some food to this family that was going through some very difficult circumstances. The father is an alcoholic, and while we were, as we came, there was a physical altercation between the husband and the wife, and you know, this had happened just before we got there, and so there was all this tension involved. But we came into that situation, and through translation, was able to share with them why we were there. That, you know, we had food to help them with their physical needs, And we were able to share the gospel with them. And bring in the food opened their eyes and their minds to being able to be receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, getting back to the children's home, once it is constructed and these children are settled in, what happens to them? Are they schooled? Are they...
Yes. The goal is that there will be house parents that will live on the site and care for these children and to provide schooling either on location or in one of the local schools. For the older children, they want to provide a means of providing for themselves. They want to train them in ways that when they get older, they can have a way of providing for themselves and earn a living. So they're going to have, they're planning on having a store, maybe a coffee shop on the site, have some land that they can farm, and to do the things that will allow them to, when they become adults, to leave the home and be able to join their society in their village as productive members.
So they're being taught skills as well as traditional education.
Yes. Because that is important. Most of the kids in, at least in particularly in this area of Peru, don't graduate from high school. And they seek to earn some kind of living. And most of the people in the village are farmers. They grow a lot of potatoes. They grow anise, a lot of quinoa is one of the things that they grow a lot up there. They're looking to have them become productive members of their society and to know the love of Christ. They want to raise them knowing that God loves them greatly and that they're there because the missionaries are there to showing God's love through raising these kids.
Now, the children's home itself, I mean, it needs materials, it needs financing. How can people help this effort?
Well, there is a charity here. It's called Rooted in Grace and Love. And actually, while we were there, they were, they got news that somebody had made a $30,000 donation in order to pay for the roof for the children's home. So that was a time of celebration for all of us. Financial support is important because, you know, a lot of times they're building based on what kind of finances they have available at the moment, but also to provide encouragement and support and prayer is important for this ministry, as it is with any ministry.
Can people learn more about this by going to the website for your church?
Not currently, actually. Let's see. There is there is a blog that they have. It's called Heath Family Just Love Jesus .blogspot.com.
How long were you all down there in Peru? How many days?
Almost 2 weeks. We left on Friday the 14th of August, and we left there on the 27th or 26th, and got back into the States on the 27th.
I should imagine that you've got plenty of material for some good sermons.
Yes. Yeah, actually, used some of this for my sermon last Sunday, and I'm already thinking this coming Sunday, there's some other things I want to share about it that fit in with an awful lot of sermon material in this.
God provides.
Yeah.
Pastor, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today. And God bless you and the work of your congregation and your people. And God bless that children's home. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on KFUO Radio. Each week, I have the privilege of producing a quarter hour of message, music, and prayer blended together to fit a special theme for that day. You'll hear messages of hope and complete confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll hear choirs and instrumentals to support the message as well. So I invite you to join me. That's Moments of Assurance, Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.